Our new show is 3:30, so we can go ahead and get started. Some announcements prior to the start of the meeting. Attendees who have joined via teleconference, please place your phones or audio connection on mute until such a time as you're presenting or asked to speak. When addressing the board, please announce your full name first and be sure to speak clearly. And attendees who have joined via teleconference, please do not place your phone on hold or leave your audio unattended. If you need to leave the meeting, please hang up or disconnect your meeting web link and then dial back or click the web link posted on the agenda to rejoin the teleconference. Meeting logistics, the public is encouraged to participate in the meeting in person or by dialing the conference line or by clicking the web link listed on the posted agenda. The public may submit written comments to the board by emailing publiccomments at dschs.org. The public may also provide comments during the public comments section of the meeting agenda. Reasonable accommodation will be provided for any individual with a disability. Please see the accommodations notice. And as required by state law SB 126, this meeting will be audio recorded and posted on the Charter School's website. Opening items. I will call this meeting to order. Desert Sands Charter High School regular board meeting operated by Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated, a California nonprofit public benefit corporation, for Wednesday, March 8, 2023 at 3:30 p.m. to order. Roll call and establishment of quorum. Michael Adams is here. Ruth Newell?
Here.
Marvin Smith?
Here.
Dana Clark?
Here.
James Law?
Here.
We're all present and accounted for and do have a quorum for today's meetings. Is there going to be a roll call for learning centers?
Yes.
This is Joseph from the Charter Affairs team for the learning centers roll call. All learning centers, can you please unmute your lines for the roll call? 20th Street. In Lancaster, are you on the line? Danielle? Here. Here. And Lake Los Angeles, are you on the line?
Present.
Great. This learning centers will thank you, learning. Please place on mute.
Thank you very much. I will now move on to the Pledge of Allegiance. I'll ask you to introduce you away. Staff introductions, corporate officers.
Thank you very much, President Adams, board members. This is Jeff Brown, Chief Executive Officer. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, board. This is Jerry Vincent, Corporate Officer, and good afternoon to everyone in attendance.
Thank you. And school staff.
Good afternoon, Chair Childers, Area Superintendent.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Mary Reagan, Principal, Desert Sands Lake, Los Angeles.
Thank you. Hearing no more, I'll go on to school legal counsel.
Yes, Bill Thompson, attorney for the school.
Thank you, Bill. And advisors who are supporting agenda items you're presenting today.
Good afternoon, board. This is Geeta Sharifi, CFO with NNAC.
Thank you, Geeta.
And good afternoon. It's Michelle Lopez, counsel with LLAC.
Thank you, Michelle. And other staff wish to introduce themselves at this time? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E. I'd like to hear a motion to approve the agenda for the March 8, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Newell, seconded by James Lott. Any further discussion? Roll call. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with five yes votes. Item F, may hear a motion to approve the minutes of the February 1st, 2023 regular public meeting of the Board of Directors.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. That was a motion by Dana Clark, seconded by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with five yes votes. Item 2, consent agenda. All items listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and consistent with approved policies and practices of the charter school. The board will be asked to approve all of the consent agenda items by a single vote and as requested by a board member to be discussed and considered for action separately. There are two items on the consent agenda. Number one, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 parent-student handbook. And number two, the board will be asked to approve the 2023-2024 school calendar. Do any board members want to pull any consent agenda items for further discussion at this point? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 and 2? Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. That was a motion by James Locke, seconded by David Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 3, public comment. At this time, members of the public may address the board on any item within the subject matter jurisdiction of the board, whether or not the item is on the agenda. Time allotted for presentation will not exceed 3 minutes, unless the member of the public utilizes a translator, in which case the time allotted will not exceed 6 minutes. In accordance with the Brown Act, no action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to hold a brief discussion, provide information to the public, provide direction to staff, or schedule the matter for a future meeting. Are there any members of the public on the line at this time who would like to make comments? Hearing none, are there any members of the public in the room who would like to make comments? Hearing none, were there any written comments submitted to the board prior to the start of the meeting?
Hi, this is Shelley Sam from the Charter Affairs team here to report that there were no members of the public who submitted written comments or have requests.
Okay, Shelley. Moving on to item 4, school reports and information. Item A, area superintendent update, Tara Childers.
Good afternoon, President Adams and Board of Directors. My update will be very brief today because we have our principal here who will be giving you the school update on my behalf. The only update that I have is that currently we are in the midst of state testing. Have been doing so since the beginning of February, starting with the physical fitness test in our ninth graders. Site is gearing up and ramping up for that CAS state testing for 11th graders and 12th graders coming up here pretty soon, as well as our NWEA, which is our assessment for our students to make sure that we're showing some growth from first semester going into second semester. So it's a busy time, and I just really like to commend the staff for and the administration for the amount of planning that they are currently doing and organizing all these testings. It can be kind of tough to get all these students in, so we're really proud of the work they're doing. So this concludes my superintendent update.
Thank you. Item B, or any questions or comments from the board? Okay, item B, principal update, Jenny Bonilla.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to showcase the highlights of our fall semester, as well as to give you a glimpse at our upcoming events and areas of focus. Fall semester has been very eventful. Although we're not a traditional school setting with passing periods and a football team, we still feel the need to build community and a sense of belonging for our students. We want them to feel safe, cared for, and encouraged in our school, like their voice and presence matters, and that they are important to our community. In addition, we want to ensure that our students gain a sense of responsibility and pride in achievement as they reach their goals here. We want them to learn the behaviors, study skills, and organization needed to be successful as our students, but also in the real world. As you'll see throughout the following slides, our events and offerings are designed to nurture our school community and provide awareness, preparedness, and inspiration to our students. We have established several student groups where students can build their confidence, healthy connections, practice being leaders, learn social-emotional skills, and give back to the community. Our leadership group helps in planning school events, hosting, and giving their feedback to improve our school. Our Kiwanis Key Club does community service projects. This month, they made blankets for Project Linus, which is an organization that provides handmade blankets to children who are ill, traumatized, or who are in need of help. Our Griffin Gamers is a group of students that enjoy playing video games, but also come together to learn life skills and receive counselor programming through the gaming experience. Lastly, we also offer sports clinics to our students who enjoy being active on the court or field. Our HOPE program for our pregnant and parenting students has kept busy throughout the year as well. Our HOPE committee is run by our social workers and is composed of various staff. They mentor and plan events and workshops for our students. We also provide resources, community referrals, and even supplies from bus passes to car seats and diapers for students. We are currently remodeling a classroom that will be dedicated to our host students and their little ones. We want this room to provide a safe and comfortable environment where learning at all levels can take place. Our future goal is to have a dedicated teacher for our host students. To provide students with motivation and preparedness for their post-secondary goals, our counseling department puts together many events, such as FAFSA workshops and college and career-related workshops. They have also created a senior committee that plans events and workshops for seniors, as well as one-on-one mentorship throughout the year. We have continued to offer our dual enrollment classes to our students. These are the current classes that we have: psychology, child development, college success and career exploration, and English 101. Our goal this year was to grow our student enrollment in these classes, and as you can see, in 1920, we had our strongest enrollment year ever. Then in 2021, we dropped a bit during the pandemic, and then we returned back on campus, and it dropped a bit during that time as well, as we reacclimated to our on-campus practices. When we saw that data, we made a concerted effort and emphasis on the importance of providing these opportunities for our students. And so this year, with more intention, we have begun to raise our enrollment into those courses, and now we are at 41 students total so far this year, with another round coming. One additional event I wanted to highlight with the board today is the field trip we just sent our students to, the Black College Expo at the LA Convention Center on January 28th. Students were able to meet with and interview for several colleges, and we had 6 students accepted to college on the spot that day. A few more events I'd like to share. We had our CSI Pathway trip in January, where our students learned about the forensics field. In February, we had our Northern California College Tour Pathways trip. Our students visited several colleges and universities, including San Francisco State and UC Davis. We also had our mid-cycle WASH visit in February, which went very well with the visiting committee. We also completed our physical fitness testing and began our LPAC testing. Events on the horizon: we have our senior success kickoff for students to visit ABC. It's actually happening today. CAS testing is around the corner, followed by our spring break recess, student awards ceremony, parent-teacher conferences, and spring graduation. Next, I'd like to share a few of the progress metrics we look at during our ongoing cycle of improvement. Our student progress percentage demonstrates the percentage of enrolled students who are progressing on a monthly basis. As of now, our average this year is 86.34%, with a slight decrease from last year at this point in the year. Our credit completion average shows the average number of credits being earned per student on a monthly basis. We are at a 2.69 average, with a slight increase from last year. We are in constant pursuit of a 4 credit average. For enrollment, we have grown in the number of students we are serving from 615 last year to 682 this year. That's 67 more youth in our community that we are helping cross the graduation finish line. Next, our grad cohort rate. Last year, 86.44% of our senior cohort students graduated. This year, we are at 64.71%, but we have until August to ensure our remaining 24 students graduate in order to achieve 100%. So I'm confident we will get there. In terms of our academics and post-secondary focus areas, some of the metrics we are looking at are NWEA math and language arts scores. As you can see, almost half of our students, 49.83% of them, are testing in the first through fifth grade levels in math. 38.96% are testing within 6th through 8th grade levels, and only 11.21% of them are testing in the 9th and 12th grade levels. In ELA, 40% of our students are testing in the 1st through 5th grade levels, 22.76% in the 6th through 8th grade levels, and 37.23% in the 9th through 12th grade levels. So how are we addressing our areas of growth for math and English language arts? Well, for math, when we've had an opportunity to hire new tutors or paraprofessionals, we have looked for individuals who have math experience. And now we have 5 solid math tutors on campus. These tutors and teachers in the math department are working collaboratively to identify and calibrate instructional practices for common challenging concepts within the curriculum. We have added more Math 180 and Algebra Intensive small group instruction courses. Our math and English departments are engaging in subject matter content forums and regional PLCs to review both curriculum and assessment data to inform best practices. Our English intensive courses are filled to the max capacity to help a larger number of students close the achievement gap and their ELA grade levels, which is partly why I believe a good percentage of our students are testing in the 9th and 12th grade lifestyle level. Lastly, for our college and career indicator, we are engaging all grade levels and opportunities to explore their post-secondary goals and interests. Again, we are demonstrating growth in the number of students who are participating in dual enrollment courses this year, and we're continuing to offer CTE pathways. Our counselors are offering workshops regarding post-secondary goals and options for all grade levels. And we are being very intentional to focus on senior success through college and career-focused programs. Now, it is with great pride that I share some great news. Desert Sands Lancaster has been nominated as AV's Best Public School of the Year. We're very excited and hopeful that the community will cast their votes in our favor and choose us for this year. While the nomination alone isn't enough, right, for us to be grateful being chosen is a humbling and affirming honor. All right, and that brings me to the end of my presentation. Thank you again for allowing me to share. Now, it's my great pleasure to introduce Mrs. McCafferty, who will then introduce our student speaker today. Mrs. McCafferty has been teaching at Desert Sands for over 8 years. She has a great reputation for not only developing strong relationships with students, but also with their parents. You will often find her partnering with parents and students to design plans for progress and to ensure the best possible outcomes for their students.
To you, I feel like I lived another whole day of work. Seriously, right? And that is all happening, what she just talked about, every single piece of what you covered.
Okay, good afternoon, President Adams and Board of Directors.
I first want to commend my students, who I've had for I don't know how long, a year and a half, maybe, about that, Isabella Ramos, for being what I think is a model Learn for Life student. She has an exemplary work ethic. She's one of those I can just kind of leave on her own to do her thing. And she takes advantage of so much of what Desert Sands offers. She has only a 3.96 GPA. But she manages to find time to do extracurricular activities. She's done multiple dual enrollments, so she already has college credit. I might be taking away some things you're going to say already, but I thought I was going second. She wants to be a labor and delivery nurse. Yay. And she came to me with the goal of having her AA by the time she graduates from high school. So how awesome is that? I'm super proud of her, that's all I can say. And so my career in education began at age 22 when I began teaching English at Alamany High School, and I actually looked like a high school student myself, so that presented its own problems. My experience also included homeschooling some of my 5 kids. I substituted at the elementary level and high school level. For many years. And I was also a trustee for Keppel Elementary School District for 9 years. So this year I decided not to run. My journey with Desert Sands began several years before I started working for Learn for Life. I had homeschooled one of my own children through your home study program. And then years later in 2014, I actually became the first paraprofessional company. So that was kind of a trailblazing position. And then after I updated my credential and a social studies position opened up, I became a teacher for Desert Sands. And I want to say I'm very, very proud to work for Learn for Life. I love that we offer a personal, individualized education where we teachers, we really get to know our students and we recognize what their special needs are. And talents and skills and desires and weaknesses and all of that. I love the staff and the relationships we build as we work together to assist our students. I believe that students know we care. They just know it. You know, you get a kid who you have a relationship with one-on-one, and that kid is very different than when he or she is in a classroom of 35. And so I love that we can offer that to them. They respond positively, knowing that we care. In this setting, we can be a part of the student's academic life for maybe a few months or for a few years. And so I love witnessing that journey from sometimes just adolescence and immaturity to actual adulthood in many cases of my students. And it's just great to witness and see how they grow. I believe education gives all people a sense of confidence and hope. And people who love to learn just make this world a better place. And Learn for Life students, they need this educational option. And I am so extremely happy to be a small part of that educational journey. So that's what I wanted to report.
Well, good afternoon, Ms. Adams and the board members. Thank you guys for having me. And my name is Bella Rollins. I attended at Sam's Charter, and I'm currently a sophomore. To me, the Sam's is a great opportunity for those who are looking to expand their opportunities in their future career, which is the main reason why I continue school. But after realizing how much opportunities I have in extracurricular activities, I took advantage and got out for AFP, and I helped do the talent show. I decorated the school with confidence affirmations and reminders about the month that we're in, so I'm going to continue. And then, currently I want to be a labor and delivery nurse, as I mentioned. So having the dual enrollment opportunities is really helpful. Currently I have to do child development, and that has been really great. I really like it, and I'm learning a lot from it. One thing that popped out of me when I first started was feeling the feeling of united team. We all in a small environment to accomplish a goal that everyone has, which is to graduate and be successful in later life, and for the teachers to help us get there. You can really feel like so welcome to be warm here. Like I said, I started to be a labor and delivery nurse, so my future goal is to go into ABT. I take all necessary requirements to go into the nursing program. And so far, Learn for Life is helping me in all ways necessary to get there. As I said, I want to get my AA before I graduate, and when I graduate. So the counselors are really working with me so I can really get there.
Thank you very much. Anything else, Jenny, on the principal update?
That's all I have. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Great job. Good luck.
Yes. Before you're hearing
very good.
Graduating from the AA and with us as well. We'll see you on the stage.
Okay. Moving on to item C, legislative update. Bill.
Well, thank you. Yes, as is often the case, there were a number of new laws in 2021 that apply in 2022 and 2023. And one of the things that Lifelong Learning Administration does is they stay on top of all of these things. Michelle Lopez has prepared this nice 20-page summary of these for you all. So, Michelle, would you like to comment on a few of these things for the board?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Good afternoon, everyone. Enclosed in your board packet, beginning on page 98, is a summary of new laws affecting charter schools that were passed in the 2022 legislative session. As you can see, the governor signed many bills designed to assist schools and students coming out of the pandemic. A few highlights include Assembly Bill 748, which requires schools to create and display posters that share resources regarding student mental health. Assembly Bill 185, which increased state funding to schools. And a requirement from Assembly Bill 58 for schools to update their suicide prevention policies and training materials to incorporate best practices identified by the California Department of Education. The legislature also focused on firearm safety and threats of homicide in school through two bills, Assembly Bill 452 and Senate Bill 906. I'd also like to bring to your attention three bills that affect the board directly, Assembly Bills 2158 and 2449, and Senate Bill 1100. Assembly Bill 2158 is an ethics training requirement that now extends to school governing board members. This is the same training requirement that has been in effect since 2006 for officials in cities, counties, and special districts.
All board members who are seated as of January 1st, 2025 must receive the required training by January 1st, 2026 and then retrain at least once every 2 years thereafter. Second, Assembly Bill 2449 offers additional teleconferencing options under the Burnout Act for board members' personal emergencies or for just cause. There are very specific definitions for these exceptions and limitations of use that are described in the bill. Finally, Senate Bill 1100 provides the board president additional authority for dealing with members of the public who may be disruptive at a board meeting. There are many additional laws included in your board packet summary for your review at your leisure. This concludes my legislative update report, and Bill and I are here to address any questions or comments you might have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I found it to be a helpful lot of reading.
Anything else to add, Bill?
No. I do have a few other things I just want to mention. First, again, to thank Michelle for this. This is a good example of how a charter school has a service provider that can do good work that she's done and keep us on top of these things. Then we make sure that we implement the things that need to be implemented at the school level. And it would be difficult for the school to keep up with all these things. So I just want to thank Michelle again for preparing that. The next thing that LLIC helps with is Bob Morales is the Chief External Affairs Officer at LLIC. He has a team of people, and Bob has a good background, too. He was actually a legislative staffer for a number of years. He became a lobbyist. He ran his own business for a long time. And now, unfortunately, he and his team stay on top of what's going on in Sacramento. You have to do this because with term limits and new people coming in and out, there are 30 new assembly people or senators up in Sacramento. So he and his group right away try to get together with these folks, their staffers, start introducing them, telling them the story about how we educate with our program, independent study, the types of students that we serve and help, share their constituents, and you know, show them some videos, bring a student along, like this great student example we have here today, bring them along, and they've actually done that to these meetings to talk to them. Now, Michelle and I and Jeff Brown are able to meet with Bob every Monday morning on a phone call with a number of other legislative advisors. And in that call, we keep a kind of a weekly tab on what's going on. Right now, we had a really good year last year, 2022. There were no anti-charter things that we came after, supporters, or anything else. So far, looks pretty good this year, so far. And I always put a caveat on that, and that is that they, legislators, especially new ones, they can put in what's called a spot bill. And they might put a spot bill in. Jeff just got elected. He says, I want to fix 10th Street in Lancaster. And that's about all it says in it. That bill can end up way different at the end. And that's the way it works in Sacramento. So, again, Bob and his team really try to do their best to stay on top of that all the time. Right now, it looks pretty good. The other thing that they're able to do is that they successfully met with a city manager and two city council members and did what I described, show them our program, you know, introduce them to it, explain that we're not a threat, we're not something that, you know, is you need to be afraid of. Interestingly, you board members all know this. Most people, the very first question after someone, I'm associated with such charter school, they say, well, how much does it cost to go? Mm-hmm. I mean, and no, we're a public high school, and no, it doesn't cost anything. And so you can tell that with that question, there's a lot to explain to them. And the more they find out about it, the less threatened people feel, and they really do like what we're doing. And that's what Bob and his group especially did. We have three of what I call trade associations. We have the CCSA, California Charter School Association. We have A+, and we also have the CFPC, which is Eric Premack's group. These are three really, really good organizations, and they grew with the charter school movement over the years. And we have a seat at the table with these folks. We're involved with them and keep us doing it. mentions that you can send stuff out of the past, really good. The one thing that they do is occasionally they'll want to introduce a bill. And this is where it's helpful. Again, it would be difficult for those chance to do this by itself. If it's something that's going to affect our room for life model, they'll put a bill in, and we might want to say, well, let's tweak it a little bit this way, or maybe we shouldn't do it quite that way. And they've been very successful, I mean, involved in the scheme of influencing it in a direction that won't hurt us, because sometimes they don't think of everything. So I just wanted the group to know that that is another benefit of having he and his people there all the time. So we will, last thing, he will be here himself to do this, and he'll try to do that at these meetings going forward. But of course, he's out meeting with people right now. So that's, yeah, he really is. So there's a chance we might see him soon. But he will try to be making sure that, when he can. So any questions about any of that?
Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Moving on to item G, finance update, Gita Shruti.
Hello, board. Sorry. So if you please refer to page 119 of your PDF packet, you can see this one-page document is for the board's information. It's updated as of January 31st, 2023. That reflects line of credits that the school maintains. So on the top, you'll see Hominy, which is the bank for the school. It reflects the line of credit under Desert Sands, and then as well as the expiration date, which is June 3rd, 2023. The only difference really on this document from the prior reports is the interest rate. So the last rate I reported to the board was 7.5%, and their current interest rate is at 8.25%. It's gone up due to increase in prime rate. And it's just the way the state of economy is at this point. So as the prime rate increases, that interest rate increases. And also it reflects the covenants, all the requirements that the bank requires us to calculate in order to show that the school is healthy and will maintain the line of credit. So the school has always maintained all the requirements and is in compliance. So the line of credit is accessible. We don't see any issue in the renewal for the, you know, another 12 months after the expiration. And then on the bottom section, you'll see LLAC. There's also a promissory note signed with LLAC at a fixed rate of 4% for this fiscal year, 22-23. That's also available and accessible to the school if the school needs to draw on any line of credit. So these are the two options right now that the school has in place, but obviously if the school ever needs to borrow money, we'll look at other options as well. So just wanted to have this available for you updated, and if you need to reference it, it's there for you. So if there are any questions, happy to discuss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, we'll move on to item E, California Dashboard Report, Tara Jones.
Thank you. The California School Dashboard Report can be found on pages 121 to 125 of your board packet. You'll also see it up on the screen here. The dashboard is one part of California's comprehensive accountability system for schools, districts, and county offices of education. It reports performance and progress in 13 areas, 6 state indicators, and 7 local indicators. Each area reflects the priorities of California's Local Control Funding Formula, or LCFF, and the metrics required by federal Every Student Succeeds Act. The COVID-19 pandemic affected education services and student learning worldwide. In California, the pandemic also interrupted the statewide data collection, assessment, and accountability systems. So the 2022 dashboard that you see today is a restart of California's accountability system. Since the 2022 dashboard is a restart, the performance of the school establishes a new starting point against which future improvement can be gauged. The 2022 dashboard reflects data from the 2021 to 2022 school year when the educational system was recovering from a variety of challenges related to COVID-19. And the data definitely confirms the difficulties evident through the system in terms of attendance, achievement, and engagement. So Desert Sands dashboard displays the following status levels that you'll see. Low in English language arts and very low in mathematics. Results from these metrics were calculated solely using the 11th grade state testing results. The school also uses various other means to measure student academic achievement in these subjects, such as Illuminate data and NWEA assessments. As mentioned before, we're about to head into that reassessment for NWEA to see the growth of our students, and we're currently in the midst of that CAS coming up here pretty soon. The school has also implemented additional tutoring, small group instruction, intervention courses, and hired additional staff to help students to further achieve in these areas. And that was all done with the COVID-19 funds that were given to us. So thankful to the state for that additional funding. Desert Sands English Learner Progress Indicator, the ELPI, is categorized as low. 30.4% of our English learner students made progress towards English language proficiency last year. This is an identified area of growth for our school. We're currently in discussions on how we can improve the support we're giving to our EL population, including discussions on PD offerings and new literacy programs that we could implement in the following school year. We're very excited to learn and grow in this area. As mentioned previously, the school is currently in the midst of our LPAC testing, which will help us to gauge the growth between last year's baseline data, which is what this is, and the year's new implementations that we put into effect, such as the small group instruction and tutoring that we mentioned earlier. The staff is also working on improving the tracking systems associated with our EL population to ensure that this population receives the crucial support in a timely manner. So making sure that we are keeping on track of which students need the support and that they're getting it. So that is currently in effect. Graduation rate. Recently, the federal government altered the reporting of the graduation rate for DOS schools from a one-year cohort to a four-year cohort. Consequently, Desert Sands grad rate is currently showing at 22.2% graduated. This graduation rate is based on four-year cohort students. So those are students who graduate within the traditional four-year system, who start as a ninth grader and then graduate as a 12th grade senior on time within 4 years. As you know, our schools often enroll students who come to us over a year behind in their studies. And often we enroll students who have already been in school for more than 4 years, or who are adults or fifth-year seniors. In fact, this is one of the purposes of our program and one of our most important services to our community. That's why we exist. So with such, we find that to measure our success with our senior population, a one-year grad cohort is much more relevant to our program. So this means measuring students who start the school year as a senior, so that July 1 if they're a senior, and then do they graduate by June 30th within that school year. We're pleased to report that our one-year cohort graduation rate is 86.44%, which Ms. Godia showed earlier, which is a 6% increase from the previous year. We are hopeful that in the near future, that California will once again include that one-year grad cohort metric for DOS schools, as we truly do believe it's a better, more relevant measure of our success with our students. And to close with this, an area to celebrate here. Once again, our suspension rate metric was very low. This is a testament to the staff and the great culture of our school sites and the connection that our staff continue to make with our students on a daily basis. As you all just saw in the principal report, the schools have implemented many new programs and structures to continue to increase student success. We're excited to see how dashboard metrics change in the upcoming year. This concludes my presentation on the California Dashboard Report, and at this time, I'd like to ask for any questions or comments from the board.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
How often will we see this?
Once a year.
Once a year. That's what I thought, but I... Once a year.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah.
If not, we'll move on to item F, current vendor list. Sarah?
Oh, that's me again. All right. The vendor list is located in your board package on pages 127 to 130. This attachment is a listing of all the school vendors with a brief description of services. As you can see, the list includes vendors who provide varying services, including professional development, technology, healthcare benefits, etc. I reviewed the list for accuracy and am presenting the list to the board as an informational item for your review. Please review the list for any potential conflicts of interest. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me, legal counsel, or Jeff Martino.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
I have one.
Okay.
In going through that list, this is actually it's curiosity. You list Palmdale, the city of Palmdale. Mm-hmm. How did Lancaster escape?
City of Lancaster escape? Mm-hmm. Oh, good question. We used to have a partnership with City of Lancaster, and then the two cities actually merged into what's the word that I'm looking for? The council, city councils are now one. So I think at one point we were working with City of Palmdale, so that's why they're on there. But that's probably why City of Lancaster isn't anymore. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, moving on to item G, the 2022-2023 board meeting date. That's in your packet on page 132. Our next two meetings are Monday, April 24th at 3:30 at this location, and Wednesday, May 31st at 3:30 at this location. So please annotate your calendars as needed. Moving on to action items. 5. A, the board will be asked to approve the charter school renewal application and recertification for the dashboard alternative school status.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Desert Chan Charter High School is in the process of applying for recertification under the Dashboard Alternative School Status Program. To qualify as a DAS school, the California Department of Education requires charter schools to complete an application and recertify its DAS status every 3 years. If approved, DAS schools will be held accountable for meeting modified measurements for certain accountability indicators when appropriate for alternative schools as reflected in that dashboard, which we just talked about a little bit ago. To be eligible for DAS, charter schools must have an unduplicated count of at least 70% of their total enrollment, comprised of high-risk students, and obtain approval from the charter school board, certifying the school meets the DAS criteria as a board agenda board item, and notification to the authorizing governing board. The charter school met these requirements and received DAS recertification in spring of 2020, which included approval by the Desert Sands Charter High School Governing Board on February 26, 2020, and notification to the Antelope Valley Union High School District Governing Board on March 4, 2020. For its DAS recertification, the charter school has met the threshold for recertification at 77%. Therefore, we recommend that the board approve the submission of the school's renewal application for DAS recertification.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board?
Yes. I do. On page 136, it's a numbers thing, and it's my weakness.
Strength. Yeah.
But it says foster youth 4.4%. There's a disparity there. I spotted a 2.4%. And the other one is, on the total student population, it's 1015. On page 152 and 153, it has an estimated ADA. Now, I understand, there, but that's 1,637. That's a heck of a difference.
Mm-hmm. So you can explain that a little bit, ADA versus student count. Uh-huh. So this particular student population count is talking about full-time enrollment, so students who enroll in our traditional program. The total ADA also includes our short-term enrollment students who enrolled just for the summer. So we didn't include that in the total because they're not our full-time. But that particular population then adds additional ADA to our school because they do come to our school for that short period of time.
Thank you.
Now, the foster youth one, we're going to, do you know what the description, what page that discrepancy was on? The 2.4%? Just so we can look into it for you.
On page 122. Yeah, page 122, top right-hand box.
Oh, from last year. So that's last year's data.
It is.
That would be why.
Okay.
Hey, good. Thank you. Hi. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll hear a motion to approve action item 5A. Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Jewell, seconded by Shane Black. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And that passes with 5 yes votes. Item D. The board will be asked to approve the revised charter school accounting manual, and that's Kiva Shreve.
Thank you, President Adams. Hello, board again. So I'd like to bring the board's attention. If you look in your PDF packet on pages 139 to 144, you'll see the red lines. Throughout the document, because this is a fluid document, we always bring in or make adjustments or revisions to all the, if there's any grammatical or spelling corrections. So those don't change content, so you might see red lines in other areas. But there's two items that I'd like to bring to the board's attention. One is on page 99. The school did not have any policy for board member travel reimbursement policy. This was inserted in the accounting manual. You have all seen the narrative on that. So this is a recommendation to have a policy so we can clearly follow the guidelines. And then on page 106, there was a section that was added due to pandemic, coronavirus pandemic. It was a temporary policy for electronic signature, and it had an ending date, which it ended, it says that it ends when pandemic ends. So pandemic is officially ending March 16, but since we implemented the electronic signature due to people working remote or not available, since we put a lot of controls and checks and balances in place, it actually has a good audit trail for electronic signatures. So we like to recommend to the board to maintain this policy indefinitely. Obviously, if there was any individuals with wet signature, we will get the wet signature. So that's a priority, but if they're none or if one's missing, we like to have this policy in place so we can be more effective. So those are the two recommendations I have for the board at this time as a revision to the accounting manual. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5B.
Thank you.
That was a motion by Dana Clark, seconded by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item C, the board will be asked to approve the second interim report on the revised budget for the 2022-2023 school year. Peter Shreve.
Thank you, board. The full document you see on the screen, is in your packet, pages 146 to 153. This is Form 62. It's the California Department of Education SACS form that we use for the second interim report for fiscal year 22-23. This financial report is the second financial report of the fiscal year that shows financial condition of the school after the first 7 months of the operations from July 1, 2022. Through January 31st, 2023. The report includes financial information and ADA projections. The financial section includes original budget in column A, a second revision to the budget proposed for approval in column B, actuals to date in column C, and projected totals in column D that match the revised budget as they both share the same data and analysis in their development. The financial section also provides projection of the school reserves and its components at the year end. Now I'm going to go over some highlights of this report. We'll start with the last page of Form 62. At the bottom half of Form A, it shows the average daily attendance was used to develop the original school budget and the updated projection of ADA based on the current enrollment trends, which is used to prepare the second revision to the budget and projected year-end totals. The school originally budgeted a P2 ADA of 1,607 and it is currently projecting a funding ADA of 1,637, showing an increase of 30 ADA that has a positive impact in funding sources that are based on current year's ADA. However, the first revision to the budget in the first interim was based on the projected ADA of 94 ADA, increase of 94. So the second budget revision shows slightly lower revenue levels on ADA-based funding compared to the prior reports. Now we're going to review the revenue and expenditures, and we go back to the beginning of Form 62. I'll start with the revenues for the 7 months of the operations. On the second budget revision, most revenue changes include in the prior revision presented in the first interim report remains in place. They include a COLA of 13.26% for LCFF sources, same funding rates for SPED, lottery, and mandated block grant, and the addition of the two multi-year grants. These are one-time fundings of Learning Recovery Emergency Block Grant, as well as the Arts and Music Block Grant. In this revision, additional adjustments in revenue come primarily from changes in the projected ADA and a reduction of approximately 33% of the Arts and Music Block Grant. Under the LCFF sources, which is number one under the revenue, it shows a projected revenue of $25.2 million. The increase over original budget comes from the increase in COLA mentioned before and the increase in projected funding ADA. Under the federal revenue, it shows a marginal increase of $245,000 to $256,000. This increase comes from a small increase in Title I funding. Under the other state revenue, it shows a significant increase from $1.9 million to $6.6 million. That comes primarily from recognition of the two one-time restricted multi-year state grants I just mentioned. The new projection includes the reduction of the funding from the arts and music grants, which is 33% of that funding. Under the other local revenue, it shows a small increase of $36,000 that comes from refunds. On the expense side, so now we're going to look at the expenditures. The school is projecting total expenditures of $30.6 million, showing an increase of $5.5 million compared to the original budget, consistent with the increase in expenditures projected in the first interim report. Most spending categories show an increase due to the implementation of the services related to the one-time restricted grants and an expansion of existing instructional spendings due to the increase in projected ADA. Salaries and benefits show an increase of $4.2 million, and this increase is due to an increase in all categories, including teachers, certificated support, and administrative salaries, and classified instructional and support salaries. Projected totals for purchases increased from $702,000 to $1.3 million, and that's due to an increase in instructional supplies and materials and equipment. Projected operating expenses increased from $10.6 million to $11.2 million, and it includes an increase of projected spending in professional services that offset decrease in training facilities and communication spending. After the current projection of revenue and expenditures, the school is budgeting an excess revenue over expenses of $1.4 million. The net position section in the first page, that's item F that you see says net position, shows a beginning net position of $8.1 million. With the projected excess revenue of $1.4 million, the school will end up fiscal year 22-23 with a projected net position of $9.6 million. Of this total reserve, $575,000 will be restricted and will be spent in the following fiscal years according to the restricted grant plans. The projected ending unrestricted net position of $9 million will equal to 29% of the total annual expenditures. And this concludes my report. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to go over. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5C?
Thank you.
So that was a motion by James Lott, seconded by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? to approve using the auditing firm of Wilkinson, Hadley & King & Company, LLP, for the 2022-2023 audit. Edith Streepy.
Thank you, Board. So the full agreement that you see on the screen is in your packet, pages 155 to 162. It basically shows the scope of work of the auditor. Wilkinson, Hadley, King & Company is an existing auditing firm with a school. They are an approved California Department of Education auditing firm. ADAs can only, charter schools can only hire have an agreement with approved auditing firms that are listed under California Department of Education. What California Department of Education does every year, they set some guidelines, revision to the guidelines that the auditors must follow as far as the scope of work. And basically what you see in this agreement is the scope of work that the auditor will have to follow to do the audit, to perform the audit. Also on page 6 of this document, you'll see the annual fee that they charge, which is an estimated amount of $12,000. And roughly that's around the same amount that we pay, and that hasn't increased from prior years. So our recommendation is to continue using Wilkinson, Hadley and King for to do the perform the audit for third party audit for the school. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5D?
Renewal.
Second. Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Newell, seconded by Dana Clark. And any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That passes with 5 yes votes. Item E, the board will be asked to approve the board resolution approving board stipends, increasing the board member's stipend from $450 to $500 for each board member in attendance at a board meeting. Mr. Thompson.
Thank you. Yes, in your package, you'll see the board resolution increasing the stipend from $450 per board meeting attended to $500 per board meeting attended. The increased stipend takes into consideration the additional board member responsibilities added during the over the past few years. Also, the amount of time needed for board meeting preparation and participation in activities associated with board service. We have also considered the inflation of which we are all aware at this time. We recognize and appreciate your service and diligence during the past few years, which resulted in your participation with monthly virtual board meetings. And we also recognize the additional time and effort required as we transition into back to in-person meetings. As such, we believe that the increase of $50 per board meeting in the stipend to $500 per board meeting is reasonable. We request that the board adopt this resolution.
Thank you. Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, may I hear a motion to approve action item 5E?
Thank you.
Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Newell, seconded by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. Item 6. Additional corporate officers and board members' observations and comments. Mr. Brown.
Thank you, President Evans, members of the board. Next week will be the end of the 3-year shutdown as far as the COVID-19 and keeping you guys away from us. But I just want to say thank you, because now we get to see each other and we actually get to express how we feel. I think that's marvelous. So welcome home. I just want to talk to briefly here to our superintendent, Sarah. She said she really had a very small report, and she talked about 4 seconds on test reports. And then she gave us a complete report of the DASH report. So thank you so much for that, because it was clear, it was concise, and I think we all understood that. So thank you, Tara. Now we're going to get to you, young lady. To appreciate what your report was on this, Jenny. The sense of community, I think that is so strong and so important, especially when the students are becoming a program part of that. And it actually putting it together and working with the other students. It starts Bill K. character, and it gives them the opportunity to socialize. And socialization is very strong because we really don't have that concept, yet it seems to be working. And the more students, this young lady over here, Isabella, great story, marvelous story. That's a basis of what we're trying to do here. I do appreciate your input on that. So it's a community program. Fourth, you bet. Again, we get back to the socialization and the competitiveness. And I think we lose that sometimes, especially when you really think about these students coming back to us after all the trauma and all the problems they've had. There's difficulty in revisiting what they did before. There's difficulty in them recognizing what the trauma they went through during this period of time. But we're taking them back, and they're coming back, and they're coming back with a smile. I appreciate that. The whole program, yeah, make sure you have room for that. This whole program, for those who had a chance to visit it, it's for those young moms with their little kids, and they come in, they go to the classroom, the kids are in there, they all get together, and again, it's a wonderful program, and I'm very proud of us and you to put that program together. The happy news about the cycle improvement, the bad news about the cycle improvement. Yes, we need to work a little more difficult, but hard, but then we're coming back. And I can see you're actually progressing with that. So I think that's important. Thank you. Yes, and recognizing the fact that we need work. We know that. But when you see some kids are 1 to 5 years reading and math, that's pretty scary. How does that happen? And we're there to help them out. That's our program. Isabella Ramos, marvelous story. And this is the did she leave?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A wonderful story, and again, a dedicated teacher. I approve that. It was a teacher who changed my life, too. So next time you see her, say thanks. With all of that, I'm going to take it back to you, Mr. President. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Vincent.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. This is Jerry Vincent, corporate officer, and thank you very much. I concur with all that you've said, Jeff. It's always very comprehensive. I did want to just call out and applaud the 6 students that were accepted on site at the college fair. That's cool stuff. Thank you for that, right? Bravo. Dual enrollment, love it. Everything is great. And just thanking everyone for the hard work to serve our students and to give value to those students who come to us with a 1st through 5th grade reading level by and large, and helping them feel that they can do this. That's more than just teaching, and we thank you for it very much. And board, thank you for supporting them in it. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Do any board members have observations and comments at this time?
I do.
Okay.
I'm probably talking at this time.
Great voice, though, I must say.
On the television, they're driving me crazy, and on the radio. Well, these companies saying, come to us, and you can get a government grant for $26,000 per employee. For both profit and non-profit are eligible. Have we looked at that?
we can defer if you're okay with it, sir. Gita, are you still on the line? She may have dropped off. I think we can get an answer for you on that, but I know that we did apply for the PPP loans. We qualified, we applied, and we were granted the money and forgiven. And this is different.
Even if you have the PPP.
Yeah. Right.
I just start counting. Wait a minute, $25,000 for
Right.
Yeah, we should look into that.
Well, actually, I think you did. Did you not?
I did for myself. We'll have to ask you.
Oh, okay. But we also have challenges with our one-time funding that we get, right, and then having to spend to the SB 740. So it could be, but I'll take a note, Marv, and I'll make sure that we look into that, okay?
That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, something like that. I know what your answer is, right. So action item on that one. You got it, Marv.
And they must give the promoters a pretty good cut.
Well, I bet they do.
But you can go straight to government and apply for it, right? Is what I understand.
You can.
Oh, yeah.
You don't need to go through a broker. No.
I'm sure we've got the people who can handle that.
Exactly.
Good question. That's all. Any other questions or comments from the board? Okay. Well, now we'll be moving into item 7, closed session. At this time, I would like to request a motion to adjourn open public board meeting to go into closed session for number 1, conference with legal counsel existing litigation under government code section 54956.9D1, name and case Selena Villegas versus Desert Sands Public Charter Incorporated et al., Los Angeles Superior Court case number 22STCB24453, and number 2, public employee performance evaluation under government code section 54957B1, title area superintendent. May I hear a motion? Thank you. Thank you. That was a motion by James Ott, seconded by Marvin Smith. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes with 5 yes votes. We are in closed session.
We are back in open session. Board Member Ruth Newell made the motion to exit the closed session. Board Member James Lott seconded the motion. The board voted unanimously to adjourn the closed session and reconvene the open public board meeting. No action was taken on either of the two issues that were listed for closed session. Item 8, closing items. The next regular board meeting date is April 24, 2023 at 3:30. And now I will hear a motion to adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Thank you. That was a motion by Ruth Newell, seconded by Dana Clark. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes with 5 yes votes. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.